Hey there, and welcome to Your Pocket Sailing Instructor, the number one educational podcast all about sailing. I'm Penny Caldwell, and I have been a sailing coach for over 25 years now. I'm here to help you reach your sailing goals. Whether you're looking for gear reviews, safety tips, or just some fun sailing stories, this podcast will have it all. Your Pocket Sailing Instructor is an educational and fun podcast all about things sailing. I plan on releasing weekly episodes every Monday to help you start off your week on a high note. So grab your coffee and join me for your weekly dose of all things sailing. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Your Pocket Sailing Instructor. I'm Penny. I'm excited to have you join me here. I am actually coming to you from Kelowna. I am currently in Kelowna, actually teaching a powerboat instructor course. So we have a powerboat instructor clinic going, about to have a bunch of six new powerboat instructors joining us. So yeah, Sail Canada is not only a sailing organization, we also do powerboating. And I am also a powerboat instructor, which kind of segues nicely into our discussion that we are having about the tender. So last episode, I was telling you about my little bear encounter and about how my Zodiac Cadet came to a very unfortunate end and became a chew toy for a local bear, and ended up with a whole bunch of puncture marks and puncture damage that I have not been able to fix, and that thankfully my insurance, after some pretty funny phone calls, we managed to come to an agreement, and they offered to replace and provide me with a payment so I can get myself a new dinghy. So this past weekend, we have been spending a lot of time on powerboats, outboards and inboard outboards and inboards, and just getting a lot of good time out on the water here at the Kelowna Yacht Club. And it's been a really good time for me to test out a few different boats, albeit that the ones that we're using for the clinic are quite a bit bigger than what I'm looking for. So just a recap a little bit about what I am looking to use this tender for. It will accompany my boat Spindrift, so my 27-foot sailboat. The idea is I would use this tender when I am out using the boat for pleasure, for myself, with the family, friends, that kind of thing. And we are looking to anchor and head over to shore, maybe go do some exploring or go and have a bonfire on shore, that kind of thing. So looking for a new dinghy that I can easily tow behind the boat, and one that can seat 3 to 4 people. And I will get into that in a minute. But this past weekend, I had the good fortune of actually using a Highfield, one of their sport model dinghies. So it was a larger dinghy. I think it was about 20 feet, and handled really, really well. And it was really, really fun to helm and to manage. Had a center steering console and everything, so super user-friendly. And also the fact that you have these pontoons kind of makes it an ideal teaching boat as well, because it is definitely a little more forgiving. If you end up getting too close to the dock or another boat, you will end up with some marks on the boat and also potentially on whatever it is that you brush up against. But it is definitely a little more forgiving than, let's say, an aluminum boat or even fiberglass, where you can end up doing some pretty good damage. So overall, I was quite impressed with the Highfield dinghy. I will try to find out. I'll have a look here and let you know exactly which model we were using. But again, it was one of the larger models, and we had 115 horsepower engine on the back, along with a center steering console, which was really nice. And it handled very well while we were on the water here. So that is a little bit more beef than what I'm looking for. And I'm just going to go through my wish list here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the accessories that I have seen and I am noticing with some of these outboard tenders. So particularly, I am interested in a rigid hull inflatable boat, meaning that the hull is hard, basically. So the bottom section will be probably aluminum in this case. And then I will have inflatable sides or inflatable pontoons along the side of the boat. And the reason for this is that I boat in an area that has a lot of rocky shore, and I need something that I can kind of pull up on the shore that I don't need to worry too much about. So previously I had mentioned I had a Zodiac Cadet. The Zodiac Cadet was really convenient because it was purchased specifically to be a smaller boat for Spindrift so that it could be folded up and tucked away and was stored on the boat. It was not towed behind the boat, so it was intended more as a little bit of an emergency type of dinghy, or a dinghy that can be blown up as needed every once in a while to go to shore, not necessarily a dinghy that would be used all of the time to go to shore. So where I do a lot of my boating, we don't have a ton of marinas on Kootenay Lake. And even when we do, really, when I head out, one of the things that I love looking for is a really nice quiet anchorage all to myself. That's the kind of sailing I like to do. I kind of get off into the sailboat and head out on my own, specifically to get away from the world. So when I am heading out and anchoring, I'm looking to potentially head to shore to do some exploring. I also really enjoy letting my kids, who are now quite a bit older, but 15 and 16, I like letting the girls kind of head off and do some exploring as well. I think that's some pretty cool time for them to go out and do that. So I am looking for a rigid hulled inflatable boat. Locally, we have a store here, Jones Boys, that does a lot of dealings with high field boats in particular. And so that is how I have kind of started looking into the high field boats. Now, for high field in particular, and this is pretty typical for a lot of other dinghies that you will see, and I'm going to flip back and forth between dinghy and tender. So kind of please forgive me if I'm going back and forth. And, you know, when I say dinghy, I'm talking about the tender and vice versa. So, but there are different kind of trim levels or different categories for the boats that you will be looking at as well. So a lot of manufacturers will offer something that is kind of an entry level type of boat. And in this case, Highfield calls it their ultralight boat. So their ultralight boats tend to be really quite small, maybe fitting 2 to 3 people, not a lot of accessories. So not likely that you will find seats on these particular dinghies. So they tend to be, a little bit more affordable and a little bit smaller with fewer accessories available. But they have the same kind of manufacturing specs, right? So everything is, all of the seams are welded. So in this case, they use PVC, and they have, they call it Hepalon or Hypalon tubes. So that's their particular, grade of tube that they use. And so you will have kind of the same level of manufacturing, but it will be a smaller boat. So they're ultra light boats. Definitely tend to be smaller. They are anywhere from maybe, I've seen small ones such as 5 feet or even smaller, all the way up to about 10 feet. And so this is a really good dinghy for someone who has a smaller type of boat. So maybe you might have, a 21-foot San Juan, let's say, and you boat in an area kind of similar to where I boat, where there potentially are not a lot of marinas, or potentially where you are looking to do some exploring. So you would bring this tender with you, and then you and your partner or whoever you're sailing with, you hop in and then go do your exploring. So that is kind of what you will get from that particular class or category of dinghy. The next one up is called the Classic. This is the kind of group that I'm looking at, and these ones are a little bit bigger, a little bit beefier. So the one that I've been interested in is the CL340. I'm looking at the 340 and the 360. And so this one, like I said, is a little bit larger, a little bit longer, because I am looking for something that will potentially seat 4 to 5 people. So this one will also come with like a bow seat, for instance. So, and there's a little storage locker up there. You can actually store your fuel tank up there if you would like. My particular motor, I have a Yamaha with an internal fuel tank, so a little gas tank within the motor. So I do not need to carry a jerry can with me. I don't have, you know, the fuel line hookups and all that stuff that I need to worry about. But if you do have a larger motor that requires a fuel tank and the fuel line, you'll have a place where you can store it up at the bow, which is really, really beneficial. And it's just kind of nice to have built-in seats and a couple of options so that when you do have people on the boat, like I said, maybe 3, 4, or 5 people, that everybody kind of has somewhere comfortable to sit. It's not bad when you have to sit on the gunwale, or basically sitting along the edge of the boat. But you know, it is always nice when you can actually sit properly and face forward and balance the boat nicely and not have people sitting along the edge, especially if you have anybody with mobility issues, anybody who is maybe younger kids, they get a little slippery and they might want to, you know, fall off or jump off or get excited. If you have animals, easier to hold them if you're sitting in a correct seating position. So just little things to think about and to be aware of depending on what you will be transporting or who you will be transporting with your boat. So having removable seats and having installed seats, or even the option to add extra seating, can be really beneficial. Now, one of the things that I noticed with my Zodiac is it was purchased in Quebec, in Montreal, because that's where the boat came from. Basically the boat stores in Marina and stuff, the Chandleries, they carried the kind of replacement parts for the Zodiac, I noticed. But I had a really hard time trying to locate Zodiac specific parts outside of Quebec, because it does tend to be more of a, I guess maybe it's more of a European type boat perhaps. But I did have a hard time trying to find some of the pieces to go with my Cadet. It could be that the boat is a little bit older as well. But that's something to take into consideration. And another reason why I'm specifically looking at the Highfield, like I mentioned, it is available through a boat dealer here directly in my area. So I know that there are spare parts available in Canada. I know that I have a local representative if anything goes wrong with the boat and I need to get in touch with the manufacturer. There seems to be a large community of boaters that use this particular tender. So I know also that if I do some research online for anything specific, if I am having any issues with my boat, I can reach out to the community and there is most likely somebody who can answer my question or who has already had this particular issue, whatever it might be. And so one example of that, for instance, with my Cadet, when I was trying to patch up all of my bare bites on the boat, I had a really hard time locating some of the supplies that I wanted to use. So I had one Zodiac repair kit that came with the Zodiac, and I managed to use all of the little tiny goopy tube of glue that they provided. And so I was basically looking for a replacement tube. And I thought, you know, this should not be difficult. I should be able to go to, even if I went to Canadian Tire, I should be able to find some sort of PVC type of glue that would adhere the patches to the holes. But I had a heck of a time trying to find the proper glue that I could use. I used a couple that just really didn't stick. Now, granted, I did not spend a ton of time trying to fix this problem because, again, my insurance said they were happy to replace it. And also because it is kind of a backup type of thing for me. It's not something, I don't live on my boat. I don't use the dinghy to get back and forth to shore to get my groceries or get to doctor's appointments or anything like that. Like, this is definitely not going to make or break my boating experience. But if you are somebody who is relying on your dinghy to get back and forth to shore, or, you know, if you are boating and you're taking boating vacations, let's say, and you go for 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time, you really don't want to have to worry about being able to source things to fix whatever issues you might be having with your dinghy. So that's just kind of something to think about. And so that's another reason why I'm leaning towards this particular boat with getting a high field, because I do know that there are big availability of parts and things that I can source to fix any issues that I have with the boat. Now, one of the things that is going to be key with the dinghy and the tender is storage. So I mentioned being able to store your fuel tank. So that is definitely handy. One of the reasons why I like having that particular setup is if you've ever been out on a dinghy and you start motoring along, things start sliding around, right? So you need to figure out how to secure that fuel tank. They like to have that storage spot, or that storage locker, I should say, closer to the bow, which also helps to distribute the weight. Because again, once you start going, if you don't have that strapped in, it's just naturally going to end up pushing its way to the stern of the boat. And then you have a lot of extra weight at the stern of the boat, especially if you're sitting there and you are driving from the stern, you're not using a center console or anything like that. So when you have these extra storage places and tie off points, it really helps with load distribution. So for me, for my dinghy, I like to have all of my safety gear that I just keep on my dinghy. So in this case, I'm going to need a heaving line. I'm going to need paddles. I will have my fuel tank. I will probably not have an anchor because I've got my little paddles. And in Canada, you can have, on a boat this size, you can have paddles or an anchor. So I'm not going to carry an anchor because that's weight that I don't need. But I will have my sounding device, so whistle, little bailer, little flashlight. So nothing too crazy. But what I like to do with all of my boats really is I will put together a kit that will be in a waterproof case, either a bag or in a hard shelled waterproof case. And I just keep that stuff on the boat and it just stays there. And that way I know anytime that I get on the boat, I have all the safety gear that I need. I'm required by law. So if I do get stopped for whatever reason, and the RCMP or the local police or search and rescue, Coast Guard, whoever happens to be in the area decides to ask me about my safety gear, I've got it all in the same spot. So a lot of these dinghies will offer lockers where you can store things. And particularly what I like to look for is making sure that the locker is a dry locker. So it, whether or not it, you know, closes and has some sort of seal to it, you want to make sure that things are not going to get wet. So some of the dinghies will have like a netting type of thing that you can put in. But when you are looking at the lockers, they will let you know if it is a dry locker or not. And it's just kind of extra, just makes extra sense to me to have something that's dry, especially because I like to leave all of that equipment on the boat. So that means it's there when it's raining, potentially there when it's snowing, depending on what kind of weather I'm out in. I tend to deflate and store my dinghy elsewhere during the winter. But if I am looking at the rib like I am, that might not be, it's not as easy to store and to move around and to get out of the water and back to our house. So the Cadet, I used to deflate the entire thing. All of the floorboards come out, the whole thing can roll up and it goes into a bag. In this case, I am looking at a rigid hull. And so basically I'm going to have a hard time trying to store that. So in this case for storage, I might be looking at actually getting a proper dinghy cover, so that when the boat is not being used, I have it nice and covered. One of my friends actually has this particular dinghy, a high field, and they've been having issues with all of the pollen landing on the boat. and it's actually sticking to the pontoons. It's sticking to the tubes, and it's creating this like sticky substance, and he's having a really hard time to get it off. So that's not particularly fun. And it's yellow, and it's anytime you sit down, it basically stains everything that touches it yellow. So that's another thing I'm going to look into, actually, is getting some dinghy chaps made, particularly for the boat. So there are several websites where you can purchase dinghy chaps. And basically what those are, they are a canvas that will fit over the pontoons in particular. So they just stay on all of the time. They have holes and patches cut out of them so that the handles and anchors and all of the things that you need to access can still be accessed. But they do basically protect the PVC so that it will not wear down from the UV, from the elements, from pollen in this case. Maybe it will help to deter bears. I have no idea. I'll let you know how that goes. But yeah, basically what you're wanting to do, and in my case, what I want to do is I'm going to want to protect my investment, and I'm going to want to make sure that I get the most life out of it and I keep it kind of as new as possible. So that's not necessarily directly a dinghy kind of accessory, but it is something that you can add to your dinghy afterwards once you figure out which dinghy that you're looking for. And depending on the type of dinghy that you get and the PVC tubes, you might look at getting chaps. Now, some boats will also have, they will use like an aluminum boat or even a little fiberglass boat or even plastic boats at this point to tow behind them. I have not done any research yet into those options, not because I am not interested in them or anything. It's just that the availability of the rigid inflatable seems to be a little more accessible in my area, and it's kind of more typical of what you will see behind sailboats. The reason for that is that it has a lot of built-in flotation on its own. And unfortunately, if you are in rougher weather or rougher waves and you have the dinghy being towed behind you, it is possible for it to get water in it. It could get swamped. And if you had something like an aluminum fishing boat, for instance, and you start to get too much water into it, you could run into some issues. So the buoyancy that is in kind of inherently built into the dinghy in this case also is attractive to kind of make it a good option and a good dinghy that can be towed behind the sailboat. So you don't have to worry about swamping or sinking or anything like that. So finally, for any dinghy that you are looking into, if you're doing some research like I am, it's important to make sure that any tow points where you are going to be attaching your bridle, your towing bridle, you want to make sure that there are reinforced points and reinforced grommets to attach your bridle to, and so that the weight is distributed adequately when the dinghy is being towed. So there are a lot of different articles and episodes, well, not episodes, I guess podcast episodes, but a lot of different articles and drawings and stuff, images that show you how to attach a proper towing bridle. So I'm not going to get into it too much, but really you are want to make sure that the load is being distributed properly. So making sure that those points are reinforced is really important. And finally, also making sure there are enough handholds. That can be a bit tricky depending on how many people you have helping you move the dinghy. And if you are moving the dinghy on your own, this is something that I'm trying to keep in mind for myself, because I do tend to kind of take off on my own and do quite a bit of solo sailing and all that. So I am trying to find a tender that I can manipulate on my own, which may not be realistic, but I'm going to keep that in mind. So knowing how many handholds there are and just that there are a lot of handhold options will help to keep the dinghy a little more manageable so that you can kind of handle it on your own if that's what you are hoping to do. So I'm going to wrap up this episode here, and I will keep you posted for sure when I do finally decide on which size of tender I'm going to get, because really that's what it's coming down to for me. I am definitely looking at the high field. I am looking at a rib, and I am looking at something that is a little bit larger, so probably the classic line instead of the ultralight. I didn't mention that there's also larger boats. Like for Highfield in particular, they have a whole sport range of boats, which are a little bit narrower and used more for like fishing and speed. And then they also have patrol boats. So there are a lot of police, fire, search and rescue, that kind of thing. They definitely have an interest in purchasing the patrol type boat, which tends to be a little bit wider, a little bit easier to maneuver and stuff. So there are a couple extra categories of Highfield dinghies that I didn't talk about. The ones that I focused on, the ultralight and the classic, are more for what I'm looking for, towing behind the sailboat. But anyways, so I will definitely keep you posted on which one I get in the end. And I am looking forward to chatting with you next week. Bye.